In the Vatican Friday, Pope Benedict received a delegation of the Knights of Malta, led by the Order's Grand Master, Fra Andrew Berti. The Knights of Malta are a lay religious hospitaller order of the Catholic Church, whose roots extend back to the 11th century with the establishment of their Hospital of St. John in Jerusalem. Gian Antioco Chiaveri of the Italian chapter of the Knights of Malta explains.
The Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem was founded more than 900 years ago in 1048. The founder, the Blessed Gerard, seeing the needs of the poor pilgrims that were arriving in the Holy Land after their long and many times dangerous journey, saw them arriving very often sick and often injured, and so decided to devote himself and his brothers to the care of the sick, the one that they started from that day to call Our Lord the Sick. And since then, our mission is to assist the poor and the sick in a combination of spiritual mission and charitable mission. And I can say that our 900-year tradition is nowadays more active than ever. We are in 120 countries with our 58 priors in an association, taking care of many programs of emergency assistance, health care, training and education for those who need, and for the victim of war, for example, of any emergency.
Some of the most recent emergencies the Order has provided relief for were the tsunami in Southeast Asia, the massive 2005 earthquake in Pakistan, and Hurricane Katrina in the U.S. In all, the Order provides humanitarian assistance and medical and social support in more than 120 countries. Before establishing their headquarters here in Rome, the Knights in the 14th century settled in Cyprus and on the island of Rhodes.
And then we moved to Malta when the Emperor Charles V granted the Knights the island of Malta and the sovereignty on the island. And at the same time, Pope Clement VII accepted this. We then, in 1798, had to leave Malta because Napoleon Bonaparte occupied Malta, and as we could not resist, because the Knights of Malta can never, as our regulation said at that time, it was forbid them to fight another Christian, so they just had to leave the island. And after a few other places, they definitely moved in 1834 in Rome. And the properties, extraterritorial status of the properties is the Grand Magistrate in Via Condotti and the Villa of Malta on the Aventine Hill. And since then, we are in Rome.
It was Pope Pascal II who officially placed the order under the aegis of the Holy See, issuing a papal bull in the year 1113. Today, some 12,000 knights and dames number among members of the order in countries across the globe. Since their foundation, their mission has been to defend the faith and provide assistance to the poor and suffering. In their meeting Friday, Pope Benedict and Fra Andrew Berti, the Order's 78th Grand Master, discussed the Knights' role in the Church.
I believe that there is a very good friendship also between the Holy Father and the Grand Master, and certainly the Order of Malta is working in the direction which before was indicated from Pope John Paul II and then now also Benedict XVI, because also when he writes in the encyclical Deus Caritas Est, contributing to a better world is also our program. Trying to help the Christians is our main project, and trying to see where we can help. So I believe that the Holy Father really is having also a visit with our Grand Master, because he approves our work certainly in the direction where he wants us to work.
Well, recently I spoke to Chiaveri about just one of the many development projects the Knights of Malta are running around the globe. From our Vatican Radio studios here in Rome, he took me into the heart of Africa, There, the Knights of Malta are working to improve the lives of girls like this one.
I was captured in 1994 when I was 8 years old. They found me hiding inside a tukul. My parents were able to escape, but I never found out what happened to my brother and sister.
Mary Coote is a Catholic girl from the village of Makuak in southern Sudan. Caught up in one of Africa's longest wars that pitted government-backed Arab Islamists against the mostly Afro-Christian population in the south, Mary is today a survivor from hell.
Our captors took us to a camp where all the adults were tied up to the trees. The children were beaten if they wandered away. No one dared to speak. We were all too scared. I thought I was going to be killed. Some people died because of the beatings. Many women were raped in front of the children. I was given to a man called Mabul, who kept me as a slave for 3 years. Then one morning, when I was 11, I was still sleeping, a group of big men came in and held me down, while an old woman cut me down there. They called it infibulation, and then Mabul raped me many times. It hurt so much. I was sent to the Quranic school and learned Arabic. I was forced to become Muslim, even though all my family was Christian, and I was baptized in our local church. I believe in Jesus.
Mary thanks Jesus and those who helped free her in the year 2000 after 6 years of captivity. She was 14 and luckier than many other Christians who remained in the hands of their Arab captors.
57% of the children in South Sudan die before 5 years old. And this number is really terrible. Even in Africa, it's terrible. It's something not only made of malaria or many other disease or poverty of hunger, but the bad thing is it's made also of people shooting on them. So they had to try to save a child, maybe leaving another son when they were escaping. So this was not a situation where they could think of building something. They could only survive.
But as John Antioco Chiaveri of the Knights of Malta explains, since a 2005 peace deal, the people of southern Sudan are learning they can do more now than just survive. More than two decades of ethno-religious and political conflict have given way to relative peace in the oil-rich south. The Sudan People's Liberation Movement and the Khartoum government formed a coalition government providing for a new regional administration in the south.
South Sudan could be a rich country. They could go on alone if we help them. They have oil, they have gold, they have water at 50 meters under the level of the ground, which is good water. The problem is that you have to reach that water.
In a region that has little to no infrastructure after years of war, Chiaveri is helping the people in southern Sudan reach that water and become self-sufficient. He's responsible for the Italian branch of the Knights of Malta's Rumbek project in the south, a 3,000 square meter area he calls a city, which will offer education, health services, a chapel, and more to local Christians. It's part of a bigger project co-sponsored by the Italian government, the building of a key bridge and hospital in Rumbek.
Our moving to Rumbek as Italy and as Italian Association of the Order of Malta is doing a great job with the bridge we just built, with the hospital, with the school we are building. So they are, in fact, for what I can see, they really need help from Europe, from America, from countries that can help and that has finally an easier way to reach them, because there is not the war that was before. So you could go there and be killed, or you could build and they could destroy. So now things look much safer.
Bishop Cesare Mazzolari of the town of Rumbek in southern Sudan told me people like Mary now have reason to hope in a new future, though stumbling blocks remain.
Things are definitely improving in a very slow fashion. It is a rather
fragile peace, and the recovery, the reconstruction is very slow. People in politics had to be very busy restructuring the constitution, rewriting the civil law, and it is a continued change of people in different positions. It has been very slow. Maybe we were not as ready as we should have been for the declaration of peace. We welcomed it. We are free from war. The disarmament is going on quite well. People are not fully satisfied. They expected a bit more and sooner. Some people are receiving salaries, others are not, so that there is ill content. Sometime for a while we even had conflicts, and now the situation is stabilized. However, they are still suffering. They are struggling to survive in spite of peace because of the upsurge in prices. The costs at the marketplace are unbelievable. So there is the good of peace, the lack of war, but a very slow progress. In the South, there is more tolerance, but at the same time, a very subtle infiltration of the Islamic and Arabizing presence. Not very visible all the time, but a lot of purchasing of lands from the chiefs, the presence of their own schooling or health centers, and other projects, which keeps us a bit concerned that this infiltration may continue to grow. And there is a strong need that we consolidate our Christian presence more strongly by forming communities, by being able to continue our education, by being able to support the many missionaries who are actually coming to Southern Sudan, and also to support catechists, to support the Christian formation, or we would find ourselves a bit shaken by the presence of Islam that continues to penetrate the South.
The new Rumbek complex is expected to help consolidate the Christian presence in the South, as Bishop Mazzolari was saying is desperately needed. And it's going to do that by focusing on girls like Mary. Central to the project is a new Catholic secondary school for girls. So how much does such a school mean to these women of tomorrow?
I hope a lot, because in this school we are not only building the first and for now unique secondary school for girls in the South Sudan, but we are also building inside two laboratories. These laboratories are very important because one is teaching them how to work, how to sew, how to take care of their house, things that nobody ever told them how to do. The other one is teaching them how to take care of their children in a better way. I told you 57% is an incredible number. So we will certainly be able to reduce that tragic number if they will start learning a little bit more on hygienic, on sanitation, on something that can help their children to survive. So this school has a great program. The Sisters of Loreto, are going to be the teachers, and they're already there, coming from Dublin, because they have to teach in English. The south of Sudan, I told you, is Christian. They speak in English, so it's their language is English. So this school will help them, and at the same time, I'm sure, like they say, these girls studying there in the beginning will be almost 100, will be able to go back home to their village, to their houses, to teach to the other people something new and something important.
Girls have been deprived of education in keeping with their culture, which kept young girl or a young lady at home to be the babysitter, to be the cook, fetching water, fetching firewood, and she would never be able to attend school. The result being that only 3 to 6% of the women in Southern Sudan are able to read and write. So we want to extend to them, not going contrary to the culture, but by creating a new environment to make it possible for them to be educated. So in our primary schools, we have worked for the last 20 years to educate younger children. Now we would like to have a private boarding school to cater to these young women who are very promising, who can become the leaders of their society, teach them the academics, but also teach them through the presence of the Loreto sisters, home economics, many other things that will make them well-prepared leaders. With knowledge of computer science, with knowledge of the updated needs for a young woman to be an administrator, to become eventually a doctor, to be a community developer, which is very much needed in southern Sudan.
Another thing that's needed is psychological healing for the girls like Mary who were raped and enslaved. Also for the 120,000 children who were forced into becoming child soldiers.
One of the great problems in South Sudan is to try to make them come out from the idea that they have to wake up suddenly in the night thinking they're going to be killed, or they will kidnap their children, kill their husband, or even worse, to the women. I don't want to speak about that, but that's really a sad part of it, because they were slaves, but slaves day and night. They were considered like animals. Imagine that the bishop was telling me that once he went, without letting know he was the bishop, to buy to a market slaves, and the men were costing $100, the women $50, and the dogs were costing much more. So they had no consideration. He bought some with the money he had, but then it was not easy for him to find out. So this situation makes you understand how psychologically they really suffered. So I believe that these girls will certainly need some help also on that side. We have Rumbek, and this big project of Italy is putting everything very near. The hospital is near. The school is near to the hospital. So we are all in Rumbek. This is also important because it will be a concentration of help coming from different directions. Psychologists. I already had many psychologists asking me if they could go as volunteers down to help, and I'm very proud of this. I have many, many different, and this is beautiful, volunteers from any field that are waiting to go to help. And I'm sure that the sisters of Loreto will be more than happy to see all these people coming to give their know-how and to give their help.
You have 3 million refugees, displaced people, trying to flood back into southern Sudan, hoping to find their old homes again. And I know that your school is a project trying to also look forward to a future for Sudan. But it seems sometimes like it's a drop in the water, you know, a drop in the bucket, just one tiny little project when there's such a huge need for even more. How do you respond to people who just want to throw their hands up and say, oh, I can't do anything?
But I think that the response to this was given from somebody much more important than me, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was saying that an ocean is made of drops. And if somebody doesn't start putting a drop in it, it will never become an ocean. I agree 100%. And if you see the face of the young girls looking at their school that is going to be built, and if they start thinking that they don't have to walk for 4 or 5 hours to reach their school and 4 or 5 hours to come back, often getting sick, they see that somebody is thinking of them. I want to tell you this experience, which is beautiful. A class of sixth grade of a school in Rome here, Trinità dei Monti, decided to, instead of making the party of the end of the year, instead of giving presents to the teacher, they decided to put money for the school for these girls, which more or less are their age. I'm going to thank them, but I want to make them understand that they're not only giving some money to us, which is always important because we need money to build the school, they're not only making a beautiful some charity, which is very Christian, but they did something even more. They're sending a message. Somebody on this side of the world, which in a city like Rome, where has everything in a beautiful school, which doesn't have to think in the morning if there is water coming out or the light turning on or the air conditioning heating or if something is in the plate, but consider this quite normal. suddenly looked on their side and decided to help them, which this is beautiful, and I want to talk about this because in 40 years we will be old, not you, but I will be old, and these children would be the one that could help the other ones that will have the same age. So certainly they are not collecting a lot of money, but if everybody start doing a thing like this, and in many parts of Italy they are starting doing things like this for the school, it's also psychologically very, very important for the people in South Sudan to see that we are moving in their direction. What we really need now, we have everything there, is only to finance this project. In the future, we can start thinking of what we will do in the future, how people, how doctors can go down, how psychologists, how anybody can help. Now we really need to make this thing start. And for making this thing start, we need financial help. As you asked me before, I repeat once again, every drop, as Mother Teresa de Calcutta told us, and it's true because I see how many drops I'm receiving. With my drops, I arrive to a huge amount of money, more than 600,000 euro. I have to reach the important number of almost 1 million. This is not a school. This is a city. It's 3,000 square meters. We are completely independent. We have electricity, water. We have everything. Whatever happens around will not influence our continue going on. So this is, in Africa, very, very important. And this is the reason why it's also very expensive.
Gian Antioco Chiaveri of the Italian Knights of Malta. Well, who knows? Perhaps you who are listening to this program would like to add your drop of water to this project, one that Bishop of Rumbek, Cesare Mazzolari, says will certainly offer a brighter future to Sudan's women.
It is important, it is urgent, it will give women the a better level that she needs to acquire in society, where up to now her value is practically an economic value at the time when she is given in marriage and her family receives a minimum of 35 cows, or much better if she is strong, capable, and all of that. With this education, she will be able to help not only the family, but society in general, and also it will consolidate the presence of people of goodwill, honest people for their nation.
To find out how you can help, log on to the Italian Association of the Knights of Malta. You'll find them on www.acismom.it, acismom.it. Or you can look up the local chapter of the Knights of Malta in your area.